News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here. Melissa will be back next week. She's out vacationing and doing good things with children. How about that? Okay, just to let you know, we're doing this streaming live on Facebook. There's a whole series of comments, a discussion now going on between Gio and Ricardo Batista, Gio Macias, and they're talking about a building that became Jesuit High School. It was located, according to Enrique Medrano, Jesuit High School was located in the building that was built as a seminary for the Jesuits of Mexico in the 1920s. Many Jesuits from Mexico came to El Paso to escape the severe persecution of the Catholic Church in Mexico. And so there's a lot of discussion going on there, and Gio Macias and Enrique Medrano are now into it on the building of what's going on here. So we got a lot left to do today. We're going to talk now on the second hour here, starting as we normally do with an El Paso History Moment from Melissa Sargent. And it's an interesting thing today. Her topic today is about Father Pinto in a most unusual situation.
A promise made is a promise kept. In 1912, Father Carlos Pinto, the Apostle of El Paso, was leaving Our Lady of Guadalupe Church in Juarez when he is seized by Mexican army officers and held for ransom. The officers demand Pinto pay them $3,000, then $2,000. Finally, Father Pinto agrees to pay only a $100 ransom. All the while, El Paso Mayor Charles Kelly is demanding that Pinto be released, and he finally achieves it. Nevertheless, after returning to El Paso, Father Pinto writes a $100 check to a Colonel Antonio Rojas, and it is delivered promptly to the officer. Father Pinto truly was a man of his word. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
And our thanks to Melissa Sargent for doing that all the time. She comes up with that. And it's really a good thing because she does a good job doing History Moments and been doing that for a long time here. So I'll let you know a couple of things going on here, the History Moments being what they are. We also have a partner in crime on the Facebook page. Politely, we'll say that. Barbara Given Bainey. She's with the El Paso History Alliance. And they're over there at Remember in El Paso When. Nice page there. Moderator is Craig Hayes. Barbara is the chief admin. Ken Weiss, Paul Louie, and also Bernie Sargent. You can get a hold of him when he's in town, 581-7920. Interesting thing we do here on the radio show, El Paso History Moments. Now let's get back into the Father Pinto history as well as the Sacred Heart Church history, because the whole thing is tied together, seeing how Father Pinto was instrumental in putting together Sacred Heart Church. So we're going to add into discussion right now a dude named Max Grossman, Dr. Max Grossman. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jackson. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And you brought another guy with you, Padre Garcia. Do I call you Padre, Father, or Mister?
That's right. Padre is good.
I like
great
Padre.
Great to be with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Now, you're the current Padre there at Sacred Heart Church.
That's correct. I'm actually here for the second time. I just became pastor in July, but I was pastor here from 1994 to 2007.
Sam, we still
my life,
and we still have. Oh, okay, Sam, we still have you on the phone here. And Sam, do you have any more thoughts that you want to contribute? Because you just heard that ransom thing.
Yes.
That's unusual, isn't it?
It is unusual, and I looked and looked and looked, and I think I finally found it in Father Pinto's history where it's mentioned. But it was kind of late to include in my presentation. But anyway, I'll be glad to listen to the second hour and see what else I can learn.
All right, your mic will be open, so jump in when you need to. The idea is Sacred Heart Church, founded by Father Pinto, and as we just heard, let's see, Father Garcia, would you go through what Pinto did to get yourself out of Hock and Juarez?
Well, let me just, first of all, happy to be on the show. I think Father Pinto is an amazing man because he became a missionary. I'm getting a lot of echo on the phone.
Well, talk straight into your phone if you can. That may be part of the problem.
Yeah, well, I am. I'm trying.
There you go. That's better.
Okay, so Father Pinto came, and he was a visionary, a missionary, and a builder. And those three, that combination of three, made him, God worked through him in amazing ways. He built, as already was mentioned by Sam, the first two churches were Immaculate Conception Church and Sacred Heart Church. They were both inaugurated within a couple of days of each other in June of 1893. And then he went on to build a host of other churches, including St. Ignatius Church in 1905, Guardian Angel Church in 1908, Sacred Heart Church in Ciudad Juarez, which is still there, and it still has the original building as well, Guardian Angel in 1912, and Holy Family Church in 1916. And he was then involved more peripherally in the construction of other churches you referred to in Concordia, Canutillo,
Smeltertown, yeah,
and also even St. Patrick's Cathedral, he was involved in that. Now, there's an amazing map that shows the route of what he was able to do as also the Jesuit superior and all the Jesuits that were based here at Sacred Heart Church between 1900 and 1919. They actually had a route that would go out to missionary route that would go out by on horseback to Fort Stockton, Pecos, Presidio, up to Las Cruces, down towards Chihuahua, and even there's a drawing here that shows a missionary trail out to Sonora.
Well, they spent a lot of time on horseback, right?
I am not sure. It's an amazing feat.
Well, they spent a lot of time on horseback, apparently.
They did.
Oh, my.
I know.
Or mule or whatever.
And what's unique about Sacred Heart is that, you know, we're right here at the bridge, four blocks away from the bridge. And so it's crucial because it's a meeting point between two cultures, two nations. And during the Mexican persecutions in the late 1910s and so on, and for years after, Liliana Owens's book on Father Pinto mentions how people were coming here to Sacred Heart Church during the persecution because the church was illegal in Mexico. So Sacred Heart became also the home for Catholics from Juarez who wanted to come to church and worship and receive sacraments. So that's the significance of Sacred Heart, kind of unique from the other churches that he built because we were right here with almost one foot on each side of the border.
Is that Father Rom Street now?
Yes, Father Rom Street. We're in the corner of between 4th and 5th on Oregon Street, correct.
And Father Rom, he was not a minor matter either. He was a big figure in Catholic history.
Yes, he came much later. He was not pastor, but he worked a lot with the youth, and there's a whole story behind Father Rom. He was an amazing man, what he did for, especially for youth in the barrio. And that's, our mission as well, Sacred Heart has always been to work with Hispanic immigrants. This area has been called the Ellis Island of the Southwest. And so we continue. This is our mission to work in the Segundo Barrio and in greater El Paso area.
Well, also, you have a history with that building. And what was originally built in what year did you say?
Okay, what's also unique about Sacred Heart and its connected with the Mexican persecution is that the original church is from 1893. And then with the people coming from Juarez and the growth of the barrio and people leaving Mexico and settling here, there was a need for a much bigger church. So Father Garde, Cruz Garde, who was a pastor there, then in 1918 he devised a team, and they came up with a design that's unique. It's our present church, inaugurated in 1923.
23, okay.
And it's got these sloping balconies that's very unique, and it fits, over 1,000 people. It'd be, it's an amazing size church. We don't use those balconies anymore. We don't need to, but it's part of the church that we have now that we're trying to restore.
Well, Max sent me a bunch of pictures. We have a picture of the balcony rotating online now. On the Facebook page. And by the way, people who don't understand what we're doing, we are streaming this whole radio show live on Facebook. And so now we've added a bunch of pictures Andrew J. Polk in the control room there is running all kinds of pictures through here. So we've got a picture of the interior of that church as we're talking. This stuff is going by. And we got those from Max Grossman. Dr. Max, you never met an old building in El Paso you didn't like.
Well, let's not exaggerate, Jackson. Some are better than others, but let's just say that Sacred Heart Church is the most beautiful and iconic building in the Segundo Barrio.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the largest and most important urban barrio in El Paso.
So you had to get involved in this. You just had to.
Well, look, Father Garcia and I have formed a committee. There are 26 of us, and we're going to restore that building, okay? There are 26 of us on the committee, and you can go to restoresacredheartchurch.org, restoresacredheartchurch.org to see our mission, our membership, and to donate to the restoration of this beautiful and important building.
What are you going to do to it?
Well, the plan is, you know, Father Garcia and the parish, of course, are in charge of the project, but the plan will be to restore the church completely, bring it back to 1923, because the current building is from 1923, and to restore the old school, which is from 1893, as well as the Jesuit residence, which is from 1898. And so it's a complex, right? It occupies most of a city block. And the plan would be to restore the entire thing. It will be expensive. It'll take 2 to 3 years, but we're determined to get it done.
Are you talking seven figures here or what?
Yes, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, boy.
It'll be in the millions.
So, and the Catholic Church really doesn't have that kind of funding, so you're going to have to find this from the community.
Well, Father Garcia and I have put together, like I said, a committee of 26 professionals, and we're going to apply for grants. We're going to solicit contributions from the community. We're going to go for local funding as well, and we're pretty confident that we'll be able to do this, but it's going to take a major effort.
Well, you've been doing, you know all about building renovation, and I told a padre on the phone earlier in the week, he's lucky to have you on board because you will take care of stuff.
I'm lucky to have him on board.
Yeah,
it's a privilege to work with him in the diocese. I have to say, that's the tail wagging the dog. I mean, Father Garcia, it's his church, and it's the Diocese of El Paso, and I'm privileged to serve and to do what I can to help.
Well, you've got a lot of people that attend that church who used to grew up in the barrio, and they moved away. They still come back, don't they, Father?
Yes, they do. And most of our core parishioners are people who have been here for decades. And they grew up in the barrio, were connected, and now they still call this their home. So let me just say I'm very glad and blessed, too, to be able to work with Max. Because, you know, part of what I see here, too, and I think it's his vision as well, is that we're not only restoring a building, but we're trying to revive a community. And
right.
Sacred Heart has always been a symbol of the barrio, of the Hispanic immigrant, and so we hope that this project will also be part of a great revitalization project of the whole area, not to change its character, but rather to improve the life of the people that live here and to just bring back to life a lot of the buildings and restore the community. So I'm glad that I can work with Max on this. It's great that we can work together with a whole other, like you were saying, we have a huge number of participants and our professionals and excellent people, very committed.
That's great. We had a phone call come in from Rick. Rick, you're on the line here. What's your question?
Well, I was wondering about the restoration. If, and to kind of explain where I'm coming from on this, I'm sure that the restoration is going to be beautiful. And it'll be, in keeping not only with the styles, but also the spirituality of, the 1920s and how people saw themselves in relation to God. And so I was wondering, as part of the restoration and possibly even restoring the main high altar, is it also intended that the traditional Latin Mass be offered at Sacred Heart?
There's a question for you.
Restoring the church is one thing. Restoring the liturgy that made the church beautiful, I think, would be an incredibly beautiful thing.
All right, Rick, thanks for the call. We'll see what the Padre has to say about that.
Well, two things. First, the restoration will include probably in different phases, and we'll do as much as the fundraising allows. It'll include the church and, like Max said, the other two buildings. You know, the church is also a living body, and this will get more into theology than what we're about to talk about here, but the church liturgy has changed with the Second Vatican Council. It was an agreement of the whole Catholic Church. And so the old Latin Mass that's still celebrated in some places is not in our our project. In other words, we're continuing to following the regular mass that's approved by the Catholic Church. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to take care of the inside so it looks better and it's restored as much as we can. But it's not to bring it back to what it looked like in 1923. It'll be improved, and it'll be a lot of things need to be changed. Things were, have been added through the years as kind of patch-up work. We hope to be able to change those, but we're going to try to restore the church as best we can, and the other buildings as well.
A modern air conditioning, I would assume.
We hope so.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
That's certainly part of
Absolutely.
The plan.
Oh, you have to do that. I mean, that's part of the deal. Also, we have a comment on Facebook. Could you please tell people how they can donate? And we'll put a link up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, Jackson, RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org. RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org to donate this tax year. All donations are welcome, large and small. This is the most important historic preservation project in the history of any urban El Paso barrio. Please help.
Indeed. We're going to take a break here. Sam Sanchez is still on the line. We may ask him a thing or two when we come back. In the meantime, we're going to take a break, and we're on the El Paso History Radio Show live on Facebook. Take a look there. Put a comment there. Mark Flores asked how you can donate, and we'll just put that up. Andrew, can you put that up on your end of it? And I want to thank Andrew J. Polk in there engineering this whole thing, output on regular 690 like we always do, but he's got us now live on Facebook. Howdy, y'all. I'm just not used to a TV camera in here. I'll get used to it, I guess, eventually. And we come back, maybe next week we'll have a couple of cameras here. You never can tell what we're going to do here. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you. Hold on, please. Back in just a moment on the El Paso History Radio Show.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso. You know where you were when the Golden State Killer was arrested. You're a moderator on the Zodiac Killer subreddit. But now you're in search of a new challenge. Enter Solve, the hit podcast that puts you at the center of the investigation. Solve is like no other murder mystery podcast. You'll track down killers hiding in plain sight.
You all right?
Yeah, it's just disturbing. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Not like this.
To listen to Solve, download the free iHeartRadio app or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to government conspiracies, the world is full of the stuff they don't want you to know.
Here's where it gets crazy.
If you found a GPS device on your vehicle, would you remove it or would you just leave it there?
No, you put it on another vehicle. That's obvious.
Each episode dives deep into the world's strangest topics, from hidden history to the bleeding edges of science and beyond. Listen to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If shopping for the holidays gives you the shivers, check out Uptown Cheapskate. Want a handbag? How about a Michael Kors for just $40? Or Louis Vuitton, Coach, Tory Burch, or Kate Spade at fantastic savings? Jewelry? How about Kendra Scott earrings for $17? And athletic wear with names like Lululemon and Nike? For men, shop Patagonia and North Face. There's jeans of all kinds, and the list of incredible values goes on and on. Shopping has never been so much fun, except for maybe the savings. And if your closet has gently worn items that don't fit, the color isn't right, or you just want something fresh, then bring them to Uptown Cheapskate for cash or store credit on the spot. And now there's also selections of brand new items. The holidays are a breeze with Uptown Cheapskate on Mesa across from the Don Haskins Center and 1225 Wedgwood at McRae. Someone even saw reindeer parked outside. I guess everyone loves a bargain.
Is the cost of finishing the basement worth the benefit of some peace and quiet?
When questions find you, Merrill Edge Self-Directed Investing can help you find answers with personalized planning tools and insights to help you get where you want to go, even if it's just downstairs. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit merrilledge.com/withinreach to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
At home with Robert, retired burglar and family man.
Carolers! That's the holiday spirit. Speaking of which, SimpliSafe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. Right now, you can get 50% off a new system and a free camera at simplisafe.com/holiday. That's 50% off the system U.S. News named the best of 2020. SimpliSafe protects your whole home 24/7 with monitoring by professionals. The sale ends soon, so go to simplisafe.com/holiday for 50% off and a free camera today.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got a short segment coming up here, but I've got a couple things I got to tell you. December 5th, next week, our topic is the two state historic sites in El Paso County. They are Waco Tanks and the McGoffin Home. Hour one, Dr. David Carmichael explains the cultural history of Waco Tanks. And hour two, Jeff Harris and Michelle Ranglewood, maybe both of them, we'll see. They're going to review the McGoffin Home and the historic McGoffin family. And that's an interesting crowd down there for sure. It's a state historic site. There are a lot of reasons for that. December 12th, the International Boundary Water Commission has had a lot to do with most all of our history in the area. And we hear that explained by Dr. Mark. No, he's not a doctor. He's just a dude. Dude Mark Howe, he's a good dude. Mark Howe, current IBWC cultural resource specialist, and Gabe Duran, a former IBWC employee. They've done this before, but Mark has done a bunch of new archaeology, and we never really did explain the Chamizal as part of the Boundary Commission business, so we're going to go back and take care of that coming up on December the 12th. December 19th, here comes Hal finally. We had to bump Hal because of the Leon Metz tribute last week. Hal, thank you for graciously understanding that. The topic in December 19th is early El Paso artist. Our guest is Hal Marcus with El Paso. He's an El Paso artist and gallery owner, and he lists El Paso artists from here who painted our history onto their canvases all along the way of history. Hal, along with his wife, Patricia, they're going to share their early El Paso Masters Dead Artist exhibit. It's in their gallery now on Oregon Street. We'll take a virtual tour with Hal, and it's an interesting thing to do. I want to remind you, I'll probably go to Pepe's today to do takeout. If anybody wants to go to Pepe's, help them out there. At least do takeout. Otherwise, I think they do have some limited seating. Other sponsors, Patrick Tuttle, call him up for real estate. Good guy. Knows what he's doing. And then the crowd over there at Mission Del Rey. Today is Black Saturday. 20% off anything if you walk in and mention this radio show today up until 5 p.m. And then, of course, there's Ray Baca, and he's Monterey Asset Management. He does money things, and he knows what to do. If you got too much money, call Ray. Some people do. They actually do. All right, back to the history here. I want to just ask you, Sam Sanchez, have you ever been in that church down there in South El Paso, the one known as Sacred Heart?
Yes, I think as a group with the Matachines, at one time we visited the church over there. I can't remember what year it was, but it's quite a church.
Oh, it really is.
We were there as part of an invited Matachin group.
We have a picture in our rotation going by that is of... The Matachines doubts it down there. I don't know if it's Vince's group or not. Oh, also, we had some comments on Vince, your son, had said on the Facebook page that he had a face-to-face conversation with Father Pinto when he had a reenactment at Concordia. And then he clarified it. No, it was actually a reenactor. I mean, Vince is out there sometimes, but he's not that far out there. But anyway, the reenactor group gets kind of wild at times. Any other thoughts about Father Pinto? We got about a minute. We got one more break to come up, and then we'll get a longer segment. But Sam Sanchez, I thank you for being patient with the process here. And all your family down there helping out as being Sanchez people. It's great to know there's a historical group like yours. It's a family that takes care of history in San Eli. Any small thoughts or quick thoughts on Pinto?
Well, actually, it's not Pinto, but Father Borgate is the one that replaced Father Borrajo. Borrajo was quite a character there in San Elizario. When he was asked to move across the river to Guadalupe, he went willingly because he was already profiting from the salt market. And so he didn't want to leave. But anyway, it has nothing to do with this. But it was kind of interesting that when the diocese was went across the river to Guadalupe, Bishop of Durango, and he replaced the diocese of Tucson. It was when the move was made, and Antonio Guadalupe was very reluctantly to leave. He had already invested the money that he could make.
Speak up a little bit into your phone there, Sam, and we're kind of losing you.
Okay.
Oh, much better.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sam, let me ask you this. And we got to take a break, but let me ask you at some point. Mm-hmm. It might be good to gather your Sanchez historians, including yourself, and talk about the basic histories that have gone on in San Elizario. I mean, you chronicled a lot of them in your Pirates of the Desert book, but also just to explain to people, what was the Salt War? What was Billy the Kid's involvement? There's one rumor that he watched the Salt War skirmishes in the middle, in the streets of San Elizario from the top of a building. I've heard all kinds of stories. And then
any one of us, Sanchez can elaborate on that. I think the most informed, we're all informed on that, but the character that can bring interest on that topic would be Vince.
There you go.
And he would be glad to do it, I'm sure.
And Vince also was the guy you see pictured as a vaquero with the bandolero bullets all over him, and
That's right.
Vince does good with that. Does very good with that. All right, we got Rafael Garcia still on here and Max Grossman. We'll come back and talk further about the renovations. We haven't heard about Pinto Plaza yet. We'll get to that after the break. And we do have one phone line open. You'll take a call there, right, Andrew? 544-5876. And I want to thank Andrew. Andrew J. Polk, Monday through Friday, he has a talk show right here on 690, 4 to 5 p.m., Talk El Paso. It's the first time there's been Talk El Paso I like this, that kind of format in El Paso for at least a decade. So support him Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. right here on KTSM AM 690. We'll be back in just a moment.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings are based on quick loans, internal data. Points and fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Research Raccoon is the easy and affordable way to get smarter about your customers. Whether you need a new name for your business or launching a new product or don't even know what questions to ask, Research Raccoon can poll U.S.-based customers that day, giving you clean data to help you decide. No matter the size of your business, Research Raccoon gives you the tools to learn at an affordable price. So move with confidence with Research Raccoon. Visit researchraccoon.com to learn more. Research Raccoon, fast results with big data.
What are you doing to keep your nose clean? After all, the nose is your body's air filter, the first line of defense against airborne diseases. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the powered suction nose cleaner. Navage cleans your nose by flushing out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs, including dangerous infectious germs. So with all the horrible stuff in the air, now's the perfect time to join more than a million Americans who use Navage. It has over 30,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Why? Because Navage is easy to use. It's inexpensive, all-natural, drug-free, and safe, and most important, it works. Think about it. You wash your hands every day. Maybe it's time to clean your nose, too. Breathe better, sleep deeper, feel and be healthier. Online at Navage.com and at Target, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
At home with Robert, retired burglar and family man.
Carolers! That's the holiday spirit. Speaking of which, Simply Safe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. Right now, you can get 50% off a new system and a free camera at simplysafe.com/holiday. That's 50% off the system U.S. News named the best of 2020. Simply Safe protects your whole home 24/7 with monitoring by professionals. The sale ends soon, so go to simplysafe.com/holiday for 50% off and a free camera today.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now you can get 30% off everything with the Black Friday sale happening at Untuck It's 80-plus stores and untuckit.com. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels and easy wrinkle-free shirts. So don't miss 30% off everything for a limited time only. Find the perfect gift at your nearest Untuck It store or at untuckit.com. Untuck It, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I want to say hello to our TV audience, and then I'm going to turn my head back of my head to you so I can read the computer. Rowena Lopez says on the Facebook page, and we are streaming this live, which is why we're getting comments over there. Rowena Lopez says, my ancestors who immigrated from Aguascalientes in Mexico lived in Segunda Barrio, went to the church. She and her dad went to Mass, and she's looking forward to the restoration. She will gladly contribute in memory of her father. And that can be done at RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org. So that's what we got there. Now we're going to do what we were going to do, because we have to talk about This Week Only in El Paso, Inc. We have a trade-out with them. It's a good thing. Anyway, why one of El Paso's leading political scientists say the mayoral runoff election will determine the city's direction for the next 4 years, and why it's weirdly quiet. That's in the Ink this week, which comes out tonight on some people's doorsteps, and it's legally tomorrow on the masthead. Anyway, another thing in the Ink, all roads lead to Wanda, which I'm not sure what that means, but I'm sure you'll find out when you read the article, as the hospitals race to get adequate staff to supplies and hundreds of medical workers answer the call to help El Paso. Also in the Ink, The Best of El Paso is back, and this year marks the debut of a new mobile app and magazine with the 2020 award winners. El Paso's business journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery. To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com. Tomorrow night on ABC 7 Extra, the El Paso mayoral and city council runoff elections are 1 week away. That was the topic of ABC 7 Extra Sunday night. Join host Saul Sines for an in-depth preview of the El Paso City runoff elections on ABC 7 Extra, Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. All right, we got a long segment here, maybe 9 minutes or so, to talk to the three guys here. Sam Sanchez, we still got you, right?
That's right. I'm still listening.
Excellent. Well, to comment as you wish. Max Grossman, Dr. Max, appreciate you jumping involved in helping restore a building in downtown El Paso. And Father Garcia, hello again to you. Well, anybody want to comment on where we are so far? And what else we can talk about, either Pinto or the church or the plaza, either one.
Why don't we talk about the establishment of the Segundo Barrio National Historic District and how the restored church will fit into it.
Take that on real quick, Max, and we'll get to the plaza.
Okay. In 2021, this summer, the Segundo Barrio National Historic District is going to be established. And that district will include 659 buildings that will be added to the National Register of Historic Places. Currently, there's only one building in all of the barrio that is on that list, and we're going to increase that number to 659.
What building?
Thanks to the efforts of El Paso County. Well, the only building that's on it is the Silver Dollar Cafe.
Okay.
Obscure building on South Mesa Street, but 659 tax credit eligible buildings. Think about what that's going to do for the neighborhood.
Well, what you've done by doing that, Max, you've helped the county do this, I think, and what you've gotten us into is a realization of the historic nature of our city. It's hugely historic, and you got all these buildings now going on the National Register of Historic Places. It's amazing.
Yeah, but the Segundo Barrio has really been the most neglected place in all of El Paso from the standpoint of history. you know, recognizing that neighborhood as a nationally important neighborhood is really going to go a long way towards improving some of those buildings and also just increasing tourism and also increasing a sense of pride among all El Pasoans for such a beautiful and important neighborhood. But the thing is this, Jackson, your viewers need to know that El Segundo Barrio, that neighborhood, used to be in Mexico, right? The river was in the area of Paisano Drive
right.
until 1864, when it moved to the south to its present position. And then the Segundo Barrio ended up in the United States. And in 1873, El Paso was established. In 1885, on July 25th, according to Dr. David Romo, who's done some research here, 1885, the four wards of El Paso were created. And the Segundo Barrio's boundaries were defined. And then it quickly became an area that was primarily Mexican-American. There were African-American and Chinese areas as well. But with the Mexican Revolution of 1910 to 1920, a huge influx of immigrants from Mexico, primarily to feed the new industries, the ore smelter, lumber, garment manufacture, and so on. And they were organized into adobe tenements, which then became brick tenements. And the neighborhood still retains much of its original character as well as much of its original fabric. And it's important to know that the very first permanent bridge built over the Rio Grande was a wooden bridge constructed in 1892, which is the same year that Father Pinto was busy establishing the Sacred Heart Church. And the structure was built in 1893, but really, it followed just a few weeks after the construction of that bridge and was just in time to welcome very large numbers of Mexican-Americans into that parish.
And also, they were coming out of the end of the Mexican Revolution, but then the persecution of the Catholic Church by the government of Mexico. That hit right about then.
Yeah, a little later, 1910 to 1920, the Mexican Revolution, and you can read Ringside Seat to a Revolution by Dr. David Romo and learn all about the dozens and dozens of buildings in Segundo Barrio that are intertwined with that with those historical events.
Well,
you read about Pancho Villa, Francisco Maduro, Porfirio Diaz, and others who spent time in the area or even lived there.
It's interesting to note that the river used to be where Paisano Drive is. And when you finally figure that out, like, oh, my goodness, now I see what you're talking about. Things changed dramatically in El Paso because of that river, obviously.
Yeah, and in 1948, the current Paisano Drive was created. The widened street that you see today is artificial. It plowed through the area in 1948 and definitively separated the Segundo Barrio from downtown, a separation which had never been there up until that time. And by the way, in 2006, Segundo Barrio was threatened with demolition. There were development interests that stepped in with the intent of demolishing the western part of the neighborhood for big retail. And, of course, the residents rose up in opposition. I know Father Garcia was involved in that opposition as well. And thankfully, the neighborhood was saved. In 2016, 10 years later, Segundo Barrio was added to the list of most endangered places in America by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And now, of course, next year, the triumph, right? The entire neighborhood is going to be a National Historic District. Sacred Heart Church will be the very first building restored in that district.
Excellent.
We're going to need an event for everybody.
We need to talk to the Father Rafael Garcia about the Pinto Plaza. What is Pinto Plaza? I have not been there, so you have to explain it to me.
Oh, well, welcome anytime.
Sure.
We created back in 2004, we inaugurated. We wanted to have a tribute to Father Pinto and his work and what he did for the city, because he basically was the precursor to the founding of the diocese here of El Paso. And so we had a little space. If you visited the church, we don't have a lot of extra land space, but we have a little square in the back behind the old school building, which is our pastoral center. And so we created a plaza to honor Father Pinto. It includes a life-size bronze statue done by a local sculptor. It includes a number of plaques with history, both in English and in Spanish, of about him, about the work of the early Jesuits, about the Segundo Barrio, listing all the churches that Father Pinto was involved in building. So it's really like a little historical gathering spot. And actually, earlier you were mentioning your Facebook exchanges there. You mentioned Enrique Medrano. He's a good friend. He helped a lot with the creation of the plaques. His mother, Nelly, was involved too. She's a parishioner for many years. And so a lot of people came together to create this plaza to honor Father Pinto, and we have it here. And it's just an amazing man. When you read the history, what he was able to accomplish in the amount of time that he did is just unfathomable. He was even pastor for a while of the Mission Church, where next to the Cathedral in Juarez, Our Lady of Guadalupe. The Bishop of Chihuahua asked him to be a pastor there, while he was also the superior of the Jesuits here. And it's just amazing what they were able to accomplish, the number of churches and schools.
It sounds like the guy never slept. He never took a nap, did he? He just kept moving.
Yeah, it's just amazing what he did. And I think, you know, the Diocese of El Paso grew out of these first churches that were founded by Father Pinto. So he is a person very important, not only in the history of El Paso, but particularly also in the history of the Catholic Church.
Oh, yeah.
Diocese of El Paso.
And he was a forerunner of what became the diocese of the area, right?
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
All right, we're going to take another break here in a minute. And Sam, you got any other thoughts, a brief thought or two on Pinto?
That's about it that I have. Thank you.
Well, I thank you very much, Sam, for participating. I appreciate it because I think you guys basically initiated the idea and sent to me, hey, why don't we do Father Pinto? And I got to thinking, I don't know who the guy is, but I know his name is everywhere. So I'm glad you did that. Thank you very much. And again, we're going to have the Sanchez Group on the radio sometime in the near future and talk about everything San Elizario historic, because there is so much in San Elizario. So if you want to pop off, that's fine, Sam, either way. But we thank you very much for participating today. And your picture is still up there looking like a cowboy. That's good. And we got Father Garcia up there as well as Max. And I'm the live guy sitting over here waving at the camera because I got to get used to this camera thing. I mean, radio is usually without pictures. All right, taking a break here. Back in just a moment. We'll have a phone line open, 544-5876, or get us on the Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show. Back in a moment.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
When questions find you, Merrill Edge Self-Directed Investing has personalized tools and insights to help you find answers. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/withinreach. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC.
Rules are made to be broken. That's why Northern Tool is starting Black Friday now with up to 75% off power tools, pressure washers, shop equipment, and more. Shop in-store or online and get it curbside. We make our own rules. Black Friday is on at Northern Tool and Equipment. Quality tools for serious work.
Northern Tool and Equipment has the lowest prices of the year on hundreds of items. This week, save $50 on their Arcan Black Line 3.5-ton floor jack. Now only $129.99.
Wonderful product. I've lost 111 pounds using that product. 111 pounds. You could not believe the difference. I went from a size 48 pant to a 33 pant. And I've maintained that now for over almost a year now. Yeah, absolutely. Andro 400 has helped me lose 111 pounds, and I've maintained my weight for almost a year now.
Thanks, James, for that inspiring testimony and 111 good reasons to choose Andro 400, the most effective and natural way to lose belly fat, increase libido, gain energy, strengthen muscle while safely boosting your testosterone levels. So, guys, how many reasons do you need for trying Andro 400? Well, here are two more great reasons. Order now and get free shipping plus an additional $6 off when you use the code SAVE6. That's SAVE6. Call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435, or go to andro400.com, andro400.com.
Talk El Paso is going daily. Join host Andrew J. Polk weekdays at 4 with the Borderlands' only live local talk radio show, breaking down the impact of the news and taking your calls. That's Talk El Paso live Monday through Friday at 4 right here on News Radio 690 KTSM.
Sponsorship and advertising opportunities are also available. To find out on how you can affordably reach an affluent and highly educated demographic, please call iHeartMedia at 915-351-5473. That's 915-351-5473.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We had a comment on Facebook from Rod Caldwell. I want to know if the entire area was being restored. That's too big a project right now. We're talking basically Sacred Heart Church is being restored. And you're going to restore the plaza as well?
No, the plaza's in good shape. I mean, it needs a little bit of fixing up, but overall it's okay. It was created in 2004. But it's mainly the buildings. We want to make sure that the structure, that all the what we call the building envelope, the exterior, the old wood windows in the church that have large frames, and just all the exterior of the church, the brickwork needs a lot of work. And also the two other buildings are very significant, too. One of them is the old Sacred Heart School, which is our pastoral center. Thousands of people from El Paso went to Sacred Heart School. It was open for about 80 years. And then we also wanted to restore the Jesuit residence, where all the Jesuits, including Father Pinto, lived. And from here they set up their mission roots. And also the priests that were at the other churches lived here. So it's the three buildings are important, historical, and they all need help. So please join our efforts.
And that's at RestoreSacredHeartChurch.com.
Yeah.
.org.
Yeah, and
.org, Jackson.
The email is .com, gmail.com. The website is RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org, and you'll take a...
Correct.
Your email is RestoreSacredHeartChurch@gmail.com. I read the wrong one. But the point being is that you're trying to restore this church. Your plan is to do that. And to do that, you need a whole bunch of money. It would be nice if people could give $20, $50, $100, whatever they can do. You guys will take it and use it well to put the church back together, as Father Rafael Garcia just mentioned. So I think that's a fabulous thing to do. And Max, are there other restoration projects you see following this one in South El Paso?
Well, we're hoping that this project will inspire property owners to take advantage of the soon-to-be-available tax credits and restore some of the other buildings throughout the neighborhood that are in danger of demolition by neglect. But let me say this. Not only is our plan to restore the church complex, but we're talking also about possibly repaving the street in front of the church on Oregon in cobblestone or another appropriate material, and establishing a mercado there, a market that would meet there perhaps every other week, for example, so that the community can gather there in front of the newly restored church complex.
Where are you going to find cobblestones, Max Grossman?
Well, we've got a member of city council in our group, as well as a member of the county commissioner's court. You know, that'll be much more of a political effort. We need public funding for the street.
No, man, what do you physically buy a cobblestone anymore?
Oh, there are people who make them.
Okay,
We have some areas of the city that do have cobblestone.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
No, but we're talking to Dr. Max Grossman, and all things historic come through Max eventually, right?
I wouldn't go that far.
No, but buildings. You love the architecture. Yeah, because you're a professor at UTEP, and you're in Italian architecture. That's your specialty, right?
It is, but look, you know, downtown revitalization has been focused on San Jacinto Plaza for the last 15 years, and everyone's very excited, rightfully so, about the renovated Trost buildings, the Crust building, and so on. But here, the idea is to take revitalization into our urban barrios, beginning with the most important barrio building in El Paso, our church. And, you know, you need to think of this in context, the significance of what's happening, and think, Jackson, about how many thousands and thousands of people were baptized there, married there, attended the school, or participated in the many services and functions of the building that really caters to the residents of the neighborhood, including the neediest residents. I would encourage anybody who has a close connection to the church through family to consider supporting the restoration of the building. What more beautiful, what better thing to do as you approach Christmas than to contribute to the restoration of Sacred Heart Church? www.restoresacredheartchurch.org.
Excellent, Max. I tell you what, that's going to be something that I think El Paso can get into. And it's a private event. I mean, this is not a government-funded thing. It's a private thing with the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church, when they raise money, they generally don't go build buildings. That's why I think it's a good idea that this be an extra outside project for you to get involved in to help the church raise these funds. And then you'll find contractors to come in and do the work, I take it.
Correct.
Yeah. Our executive committee, including Father Garcia, will oversee the solicitation of bids, the review of the contracts, and so on. But I just want to clarify, it's the diocese foundation. That is the foundation of the Diocese of
okay.
El Paso that is assisting us in the project. And otherwise, it's a private effort. That's correct.
Exactly. Okay. And you have the bishop as part of your committee, right?
That's correct.
Bishop Seitz is on our executive committee. Yes.
All right. Last words from either one of you guys. Or Sam, if you're still there, any thoughts on the history and the future? What do you expect here? Max?
Father Garcia, you want to take that one? Oh. Final word?
Well, I mean, I think we're just beginning. We hope that we'll have more information. We'll have more information out. We hope many people will join because this church has had such great influence in the city and in the Hispanic community here in El Paso. And one little note that I wanted to mention, too, is that God works in mysterious ways. But before I was a priest, I was an architect.
Ah.
I was involved, in, of course, designing the Padre Pinto Plaza and then doing this project. Not only from the point of view of being the pastor, but also as an architect, it's very exciting. And I think the committee that we have is excellent. Max Grossman is a great collaborator to work together as as co-chairs of this committee. So it's just beginning, and we know it's going to grow, and we hope that many people will join this effort and to restore this insignificant building and church in El Paso.
We're about out of time. Sam Sanchez, thank you for being with us. Appreciate your giving the idea to do this radio program. Max, appreciate what you do all the time. We got 10 seconds.
Thank you again, Jackson. Final word, RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org. RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org to donate to the restoration of the most iconic building in the Segundo Barrio.
Gentlemen, thank you for being with us on the radio show. Melissa back next week. And I'm going to Pepe's for takeout. Anybody wants to help out Pepe, call him up, get a takeout. In the meantime, thank you for joining us here on the El Paso Rister Radio Show. See you next week, streaming live again. Next week, we're going to talk Waco tanks and megafonome. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.